rental things?
Yes, sir.
That's the biggest thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, good, go on. There you go.
How are you doing?
That's what I was just looking for.
Okay. Tony, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we got to do this stuff.
Okay, we will now convene the September 9, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceeding for Rental Program Cases to order. At the outset, I've reviewed and approved and now executed the minutes of August 12, 2014. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's cases?
No, sir.
All right. Will those representatives who will be testifying at this morning's proceeding please step forward and be sworn?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth and the whole truth?
Yes.
All right, proceeding directly to our agenda. Case number one, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Is there anyone here for the respondent? GEI Seaside Investments Incorporated. All right, if not, what say the city?
Mr. Bukelja, you may be reminded these, there's actually three cases regarding GEA Seaside. And they're each similar situation. Failure to obtain the license for residential property. And nothing has changed. They still don't have the license. For this specific property, it doesn't have a license, nor does it have the BTR. But they were first notified back on April 14, 2014. So the staff is asking for and a fine of $100 to be imposed to a maximum of $15,000. And just for clarity, I should have started this by saying I'm Anthony Jackson, representing the city of Daytona Beach.
Okay. I assume failure to license residential property is something different than having the license that you're supposed to have?
The business tax receipt, yeah, those are two different requirements.
Okay. And?
The failure to license is a code requirement pursuant to Section 26-294, yes, -294 of the city code.
Just trying to immerse myself here in the new world order. So if I understand what you're talking about, we found them in non-compliance. We ordered them to come into compliance by September 3, in looking at the minutes. They have not come into compliance. You're proposing a fine in the amount of $100 per day, commencing, what, September 4, 2014?
No, that's cool. Yes, commencing the September 4, that's correct.
And to continue each day thereafter to a maximum of $15,000 or compliance?
Yes, sir. And just again, as you say, as we're working our way through this new ordinance, Section 26-299, I don't know if you have a copy, but that's the enforcement section that gives the authority to the code board or special magistrate to enforce the provisions of the article in the manner, in the same manner as any other Chapter 162 violation. And just so you are aware, I don't know if you're aware or not, but this respondent is respondent who was elected to, we have been given knowledge, has made a decision to file suit in federal court on the constitutionality of this ordinance. At this time, to my knowledge, we have not been served yet, but just as information so that you have that knowledge. We don't believe it impacts anything we're doing today.
Have looked at the statute, so let me just ask you briefly, what's your authority to be asking for $100 per day up to $15,000?
The authority is the same as under Chapter 162, where we look
You're
at
the... You're looking at the part that says any violation of this article may be treated as a civil infraction in accordance with the Supplemental Municipal Code Enforcement Procedures as set forth in Florida Statutes, Chapter 162, Part 2?
Actually, I'm looking at the subsection A, which says that the Code Enforcement Board of Special Magistrate shall have the jurisdiction to enforce provisions of this article and any person, firm, corporation, or agent determined to be a violation shall be subject to all penalties and remedies available to the board magistrate, and that probably should have been a slash there, as provided by law, the board or magistrate. And that authority has been granted to you through Chapter 162. As well as through the city code.
Okay, based on our city attorney's presentation, given the absence of the respondent at this morning's proceedings, I will go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing September 4, 2014 and continuing each day thereafter until the respondent is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first.
Mr. Calder, I did want to point out one other thing, and I don't think it would change anything you just said, but I just wanted to remind you as well that the respondent is in, and the respondent is in bankruptcy and reorganization, based on the research, not because we had any conversation that made that clear to us, but just researching the property. But we feel that you imposing a fine will have no impact on that. If there is any issue at all that should arise, it would arise at the time that we seek to enforce the fine through foreclosure, whatever other action we may take. As I mentioned at the last proceeding, I did send copies of this notice of violation to both the bankruptcy trustee and bankruptcy attorney, as well as copies of our ordinance that required for the respondent to come into compliance.
Did this violation arise before or after bankruptcy proceedings were initiated?
These arose post petition. Petition was actually about 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago.
In any event, I assume what you're telling me is, in your opinion, the city proceeding does not constitute any kind of violation of the automatic stay provisions of the bankruptcy court.
That's correct. That's my position.
Okay. All right. Case number two, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Okay, what say the city?
This property, same status. This is 311 North Hollywood Avenue. The respondent has we hadn't heard from him at all, so there's been no response since the previous proceeding. The staff is requesting $100, and this one is to a maximum of $20,000.
All right. Having previously found the respondent in noncompliance, having previously ordered the respondent to come into compliance by September 3, given the absence of the respondent based on the city's presentation, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing September 4, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the respondent is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $20,000, whichever occurs first. Case number three, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Vakelger, this property is 121 South Grandview Avenue. And again, this is the same respondent with similar circumstance. There's been no response since the previous meeting. There has been no action to bring the property into compliance. And so the staff is requesting $100 per day fine to a maximum of $20,000.
All right. Having previously found the respondent in noncompliance, having ordered the respondent to come into compliance by September 3. Given the absence of the respondent and the information provided by the city, I will now order the respondent to pay the sum of $100 per day commencing September 4, 2014 and continuing each day thereafter until the respondent is either in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $20,000. All right, our next case, Andre Rondo. Anyone here for the respondent, Andre Rondo? What say the city?
This property is in non-compliance, and I just have a question for my inspector, so. The staff will move to amend this. With him not present. The staff has had communication with the respondent. The respondent has been in agreement with making the necessary actions for compliance. It's the same respondent for case number 4 and number 5. One of the things staff realizes that what we did not include in our list of violations is failure to obtain the license. What we've listed is all of the violations that would need to be remedied for them to obtain the license, but we'd like to amend to add the failure to license the rental property.
Okay.
And then we would ask that they
respond in compliance with the initial notice of violation.
No, we would give them additional time here. We would ask that you find them in non-compliance, and give them till November to come into compliance, and would ask for a October progress report.
Okay, has there been communication with the respondent to the effect that you are going to be looking to amend this notice of violation to include failure to obtain a license?
I believe that answer is no, and I will call the inspector over. And the inspector is Jürgen Benz, and Inspector Benz, if you can come to the microphone, and if you can respond to magistrate regarding that issue.
Good morning, Mr. Vigelsia. Jürgen Betz, rental inspector, City of Daytona Beach. The owner on this property was initially cited for not having a rental license. He then came in and made an application for the rental license. We then did an inspection. We found the deficiencies you see before you. So once those deficiencies are repaired, we can issue the rental license. But to answer your question directly, we have not let him know that he's also being cited for not having a rental license at this point. He was cited for it previously, and he was under the understanding that it would be issued once he made the necessary repairs, which is getting a site plan review for changing the property from residential professional to residential, repairing the windows, repairing the missing window screens, and installing smoke detectors. The biggest issue is, my understanding is, he has to add a driveway to, he's changed the property from residential professional to residential duplex. And in order to obtain the site plan approval, he's going to have to most likely add two more parking spaces.
To that property?
Yes, sir.
So you're going to be able to do that?
He met with a surveyor last Tuesday. He has a contractor to pour it. He hasn't yet submitted the permits for it, but he's under the impression it can be done. He's also under notice that if he can't install the driveway, he'll probably have to convert it back to single family or single unit.
And this will be determined by him going to a technical review?
TRT, a technical review team will review it, as well as a site plan review.
Which is a staff review, so understanding that, that's why we're giving the additional time so he can go and have that staff review and have those determinations made.
Correct.
And do we know why the respondent is not here today?
He lives in Canada. Mr. Andre lives in Canada. He has a maintenance person, lives here locally. I'm in regular contact with his maintenance person. We're working with him on other properties also. But I was under the impression that his maintenance person would be here, but I don't see him in the audience. But when I spoke with him last Tuesday, he said he expected to be here today, and he was hoping to have the permit in for the addition of the driveway, but I have not seen that as of yesterday evening in the system. And this is the property located at 502 North Halifax, which is on corner Halifax and Oak Ridge.
Okay, what exactly is our residential rental inspection licensing program? What is it supposed to do?
Well, it's supposed to ensure basically for safe and decent housing for the tenants.
I drive by this property on a daily basis, and now I see it here on our residential licensing program. And juxtaposed against, which I'm assuming are some very lofty ambitions on the part of this program, I see this property. Mm-hmm. I won't say any more about it than that. And so that's why I'm curious as to what you expect to accomplish here.
Ms. Vakelja, I can probably answer that better by...
Why are you answering it for me? Why can't I ask him the question?
Certainly, Ms. Yes, yes, sir.
Well, we're simply...
in charge of the program?
Well, I'm an inspector.
All right. Well, never mind. Flip a coin. Whoever wants to answer my questions, welcome to.
We're simply asking for compliance with local ordinance and the International Property Maintenance Code.
For compliance with local ordinances, and I guess I'm just wondering is how low the bar is on the local ordinance, and I guess maybe that's an awkward way of asking, but so in any event, what exactly is the objective of this program?
Well, the reason I said I'd answer is because it's something that we've spelled out in the ordinance itself, as we normally do on the purpose of the ordinance, which says that we recognize the need for safe, decent, and well-maintained residential property within our city. And so this regulation is intended to ensure that residential rental units that are not subject to state regulation meet minimum standards for health, safety, and welfare of all city residents. And that responsible persons are readily available to respond to and take appropriate actions when necessary to prevent or remedy the occurrence of nuisance.
That's the answer to my question?
Well, the answer is that it's a program that's set up to do what the state regulations don't do. The state regulations don't start to regulate until you have a four-unit facility. And so the smaller units are not regulated with a any type of a code enforcement regulation for quality of housing. I mean, obviously, general quality of housing is regulated with all our code enforcement. That's what we go and do. But rental housing is commercial.
I was referring to earlier and how low or high it is.
Right. But rental housing is commercial. And so understanding the commercial, the authority of regulating commercial structures, going in and ensuring that they're presenting quality and as they indicated, they're appropriate.
What I'm hearing, the net result,
well maintained housing.
This property needs is two parking spaces.
No.
Repair the windows.
The everything that's listed on the list of violations: inoperable windows, missing window screens, uncovered electrical junction box, exterior wall at right rear. So, yeah, but in addition to that, they have the issue of having transitioned for the use itself. But from an inspection perspective, it's the similar inspection to those that were being done with the BTR, except that that was for obtaining a tax license as opposed to enforcement of regulations for quality of housing.
Well, I've probably talked too much. So, I'm to find them in noncompliance. I am to ask for a progress report on October 14, 2014, and I'm to ask that they order them to come into compliance by November 5th, and you want me to amend to add their failure to license a residential property. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Given the absence of the respondent, based on the presentation by our city attorney as well as Mr. Betts, I will find the respondent in noncompliance, order the respondent to come into compliance by November 5, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I will order that the respondent appear at the October 14, 2014 meeting for a progress report, And I'm also amending the pending or current order of noncompliance to include failure to license residential property. Anything else to be brought up as to this property?
No, sir. I need to speak to this one because this is his also.
Very good. Sure. Case number 5, Andre Rondo, 207 and 209 Oak Ridge. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
We have a similar request all the way through with this one. This, again, is another property owned by Mr. Rondo. We would like to amend it to add that failure to obtain rental license. And just so you can have some clarity, Mr. Kelja, on that, the whole point there, we recognize the effect and intent of what the statute provides for repeat violation. But for us to have repeat violations of the internal or the underlying violations that result in their failure to obtain the license, it makes it necessary for us to cite them for all of the underlying issues, and that's why we cite the underlying. However, the principal point of our purpose for being here is to cite and identify the need for the obtaining the license. And so that's why we want to have the license, failure to have the license cited, but we also are citing the underlying violations. So I'd ask if Mr. Betts, if there's any other questions. As you see, this is much more substantial, and the circumstances are a little different in terms of what has to be done. So I'd ask if Mr. Betts could address you on those issues regarding this property.
All I need to know from Mr. Betts is, Mr. Betts, I assume you're going to confirm all these violations exist as stated in the notice of violation, at least at one time or another.
Yes, sir, correct.
And some or all of them have not been resolved.
Correct.
And in addition to that, do you also want to add the failure to license residential property to this one as well?
Correct.
All right. And how much time is the city proposing that Mr. Rondo should take to come into compliance?
And speaking with his repair contractor, they expect to be done by next cutoff, October 8th.
Okay. All right. Given the absence of the respondent, based on the presentation of the city as well as the city's inspector, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by October 8, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter, and also amend the current notice of noncompliance to include failure to license residential property. Very good. Any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate with regard to the proceedings for rental program?
No, sir. Don't know of anything for this agenda.
All right, then we will adjourn that portion of this morning's meeting.